Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Kedushin and daf Chavtes. We actually got up to the Mishnah yesterday toward the top of Chavtes Amid Aleph. Today we are on an abbreviated shiur, first of all, because we have Slichas beginning here in 35 minutes. Next week it gets even shorter. So there's a bunch of ground to cover. We're going to learn one Mishnah and then a lot of Gemara associated with that Mishnah. This is a Mishnah that doesn't appear to be consistent with the other topics that we've been discussing over the past couple of days, but it's a Mishnah that tells us about the various mitzvos that a father must perform for a child, for a son. And we're going to go through in the Gemara limudim as to how we know that only the father has to perform those mitzvos, only the father is obligated in those mitzvos, and not the mother. We're also going to talk about what happens in terms of if the father doesn't perform the mitzvah, who is obligated to perform the mitzvah. And then we're going to talk about priority in these various mitzvahs. Let's say if you only have enough money to perform one of these mitzvahs, but not two, which one should you perform first? Let's say you have the money to perform a mitzvah for yourself, but not for your son. Which one do you perform first? So we're going to talk about that. And we're probably going to get to the bottom of Chavtes Amud Beis, where the Gemara gives advice as to the sequencing of when one ought to get married. So, first of all, why is this Mishnah brought down over here? The entire, for the past couple of days at least, we've been talking about the various kinyanim. We've been talking about kinyanim of an eved. We've been talking about kinyanim of karka, kinyanim of metaltalin, chalipin. We had kinyan agav. We have all these sugyas about kinyanim. Why over here are we talking about the mitzvos that a father is obligated to perform for a child? By the way, how could I forget? Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. Lilinishmas's mother Golda Basimcha Shalom, and I was actually chatting with Dr. Landerer's wife yesterday at an engagement party, and he sent his regards to everybody in the shiur. So we thank him very, very much for his continued sponsorship and support of the shiur. So why in the world is this Mishnah mentioned over here? Why is it placed here? So the Ritva explains that Rebbe placed it here, even though we've been talking about Inyani Kinyanim, because one of the mitzvahs that the father has to perform for his son is that he has to find him a wife. And since we are learning, after all, Maseches Kedushin, that is why this Mishnah is found here. So it says the Mishnah as follows, Kol mitzvos haben al ha'av, all mitzvos of the son on the father. It's a little bit of a confusing lashon. The Gemara is going to explain to us what this means. Anashim chayavin v'nashim peturos. Only the father is obligated to perform these mitzvos, but not the mother. V'chol ha'mitzvos ha'av al ha'ben. However, any mitzvah that the son has to perform for the father, echan anashim v'echan anashim chayavin. Both boys and girls, both sons and daughters, are obligated to perform those mitzvahs. Now, another fundamental principle that's mentioned by this Mishnah, v'chol mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, anashim chayavin v'nashim peturos. All mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, which are time-bound, men are chayav in those mitzvahs, women are putter in those mitzvahs. A famous principle, women are putter in mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama. Interestingly, Rav Sadia Gaon counts how many mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama women are actually putter in, and he gets to 30. So even though there's a general klal that women are putter for mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, the Mishnah seems to say this as a blanket rule. In fact, there are so many carve-outs to this rule. There are so many exceptions to this rule because of afein hayu shebosa anes, afein hayu bosa sakana, similar concepts. So we see that women are chayiv in most mitzvahs aseh shehazman grama, but there are 30, says Rav Sadia Gaon, that they're poterin. V'chol mitzvah aseh shelo hazman grama, and any mitzvah aseh which is not time-bound, then echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayavin, then both men and women are going to be chayav to perform those mitzvahs. V'chol mitzvahs lo saseh, and then if you have any lo saseh, bein shehazman grama, bein shelo hazman grama, whether it's a time-bound aseh, lo saseh or not, echad anoshim v'echad anoshim chayavin. Both men and women are chayav they're chayav in the mitzvahs lo saseh. So in other words, the exception of mitzvah aseh shehazman grama, that a woman is poterin, is only in a mitzvah saseh, not in a mitzvah lo saseh. So the Maram Shik explains that therefore, women are chayavos in all mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, which are midrabanan. So why would that be? It's counterintuitive. If they're going to be poter in mitzvah saseh shehazman grama, which are midaraisa, why in the world should they be chayav in mitzvah saseh shehazman grama that are midrabanan? So the Maram Shik explains, because the yesod for all mitzvah saseh midrabanan, all mitzvahs drabanan rather, is lo saser. Lo saser, yamin esmol, that you have to listen to the Divrei Chachamim. Lo saser is, of course, a mitzvah lo saseh. We had said that women are chayavos in mitzvahs lo sase, even if zman grama, and therefore would turn out counterintuitively that they're chayiv in all mitzvahs midrabanan, even if they are time-bound mitzvahs. Says now the Mishnah. The Mishnah gives an exception to the mitzvahs lo sase, rather, that women are not chayiv in. Chutz mi baltakif u baltashkas u baltatam lemesim. There are three exceptions. There are two exceptions which just simply don't apply to a woman, cutting off a woman's payas. A woman doesn't have payas, a woman doesn't have a beard, therefore there's no isser in shaving a beard with a razor, and she is also not included in the isser of being metame to mesim if she is a kohenist. There is no mitzvah for a kohenist to avoid tumah. It's only a mitzvah on a kohen to avoid tumah. Says the Gemara, we had been using sort of cryptic language in the Mishnah, mitzvah av ala ben, mitzvah ben ala av. What exactly does this mean? Says the Gemara, my call mitzvah ben ala av. What do we mean when we refer to all mitzvahs of the son on the father? Says the Gemara, ilema call mitzvahs the mechaya bralam eved la'aba. If it's all the mitzvahs that the son is obligated to perform for the father, so nashim peturos, can it be that women are pater vatanya? But we learn in a brisa ish. It says ish ainli ela ish isha minayim. We're talking about the mitzvah of mora av v'aim. So it says ish imov aviv tiro. How do we know that a woman is included in this mitzvah? Kishu omer ish imov aviv tiro arei kachnayim. When it says ish imov aviv tiro, there's two. So Amar Rav Yehuda, so in other words, that both men and women are going to be chayiv in this mitzvah. So Hachi Kamar, Kol mitzvah ben amutolos ala av lasos libno, says the Gemara, no, it means the opposite. Any mitzvah that the father is obligated to perform for the son, anashim chayavin v'nashim peturos. Men are chayiv, in other words, the father is chayiv, women, the mothers, are pater. And tanina la the tana rabbanan, and it's a raya, it's consistent with the following brisa, to ha'av chayiv v'vno, that a father is chayiv regarding his son, lamolo, to give him a bris milah, v'liftoso, pidina ben, v'lalamdo Torah, and to teach him Torah, alasiu isha, this is the reason, said the Ritva, why this Mishnah is mentioned here, he has to find him a wife, ulalamdo umdis, and he has to teach him a profession, v'yesh omrim, afla shita b'mayim, he also has to teach him how to swim. So Rav Yehuda amar kol sheino melamedes b'no umdis melamdo listus. Anybody who doesn't teach his son a profession, it's as if he teaches him to be a bandit. Says the Gemara, listus al kadaitach. He's teaching him how to be a thug just because he doesn't teach him how to work. So says the Gemara, ela ki'ilo melamdo listus. No, it's as if he's going to teach him how to be a bandit. Why is it as if it's going to teach him how to be a bandit? So says Rashi, because if he's going to sit and he's going to be batal, if he's not going to be productive and he's going to be lacking the means to support himself, what do you think he's going to do? In other words, he needs to eat. How do you think he's going to get food to eat if you don't teach him how to be gainfully employed? Therefore, there is a mitzvah to teach your son how to be gainfully employed. That mitzvah applies to the father. It doesn't apply to the mother. Now the Gemara is going to walk through one by one how we know that these mitzvahs are fall on the father and not on the mother. So says the Gemara at the two dots about five lines off from where the lines get wider. So lamolo minalan, how do we know that the father has to give his son a bris milah dichsiv? Because it says in Pasuk, Vayamal Avram es Yitzchak bino. It talks about Avram giving his son Yitzchak a bris. And when the father doesn't give the son a bris, then the mitzvah of giving the kid a bris milah falls to the beis din. Tichsiv himol lachem kol zachar. Now, instead of this being a direct commandment to Avram Avinu to perform a bris milah on his son, this is a more general obligation of himol lachem kol zachar, that all of the male children of Klal Yisrael have to have a bris milah. The lachem is talking to generally to Klal Yisrael, and based in as the representatives of the tzibur, this mitzvah is going to fall on them, that they have to see to it that each Jewish child, each Jewish boy, has a bris milah if the father of the baby doesn't take matters into his own hands and facilitate the bris milah of his son. And, says the Gemara, furthermore, v'heichad lo amal le'beidina, let's say it slipped through the cracks and for whatever reason, based in doesn't comply with its obligation to give this kid a bris milah, the mechayev ilo lemim lenafshei, then he has to give himself a bris milah. In other words, he has to ensure himself that he has a bris milah, d'chsiv, because it says in Pasuk, v'yarel zachar, shalo yimolos, besar aloso, v'nichrusa, that there's simply an isser kares if you don't have a bris milah. So in other words, the bottom line is, somebody's got to give this kid a bris. So it's a mitzvah on the father. If the father doesn't do it, it's a mitzvah on the basin. If the basin doesn't do it, so the kid has to make sure that he's not going to be chayev kares. He has to make sure that he himself gets a bris. Says the Gemara, imin Allah, son, delo mechayva. How do we know that the mother is not chayiv to see to it that her son has a bris? Tichsiv kasher tziva oso elokim, because it says asher tziva oso elokim, that Hashem commanded Avraham to give Yitzchak a bris, not Sarah oso velo oso. So we're medayik that it's a commandment on the father and not on the mother. So ashkacham miyad lidoros minolan. Okay, so you just proved to me then the story of Avraham and Yitzchak, that the mitzvah was on Avram, the mitzvah wasn't on Sarah. How do I know that Lidoros, that for all children, the mitzvah is only on the father, but the mitzvah is not going to be on the mother? So says the Gemara, Tana Debe Rabbi Yishmael, Kol Mokom Shenemar Tzav, because whenever it uses a Lashon of Tzav, Eina Elaziruz Miyad Ulidoros, it's a spur to action, it's a call to action immediately, and also for all generations. Zeros, how do we know that Tzav is a call to immediate action? Dechsiv, Vayitzav es Yeshua, v'chazkei yovam tzeyu, that he commanded Yeshua, and he girded him, and he strengthened him, and he encouraged him to spring into action as the leader of Klal Yisrael right away. Ulidoros, so that's Miyad. Ulidoros, and how do we know that Tzav is a commandment to all generations? Dechsiv, mi min hayom hasher tziva Hashem v'hola lidoros eichem. So it says over here, lidoros eichem, and therefore, just like by the original bris mila, the mitzvah was on Avram Avinu to make sure that Yitzchak had a bris, so too, by for all generations, the mitzvah is on the father, and to make sure that the son has a bris, and not on the mother. Says Tosfos over here in Dibur HaMaskil Oso V'lo Osa, V'im Tomer, Lama Likra, why do we need a pasuk to teach me that the mother is not obligated to see to it that her son has a bris? One of the fundamental principles that we mentioned in the Mishnah was that a woman is not chayiv in a mitzvah seishas mangrama. So it says Tosfos, typically the mitzvah seishas mangrama hu shenim ol b'shmini l'leidosa v'nashim peturos. We just told us in the Mishnah that women are pater in mitzvah seishas mangrama. Mila is a mitzvah seishas mangrama. Why? Because you cannot give a bris mila to the baby before he is 8 days old. Therefore, that's why women are pater in seeing to it that their children have a bris. Says the Gemara, V'yesh lomar, kibam demiyam ha-shmini v'hala, ein la-hefzik, lavs mangrama. Says Tosfos, that's not a mitzvah seishas mangrama. Mitzvah seishas mangrama is a mitzvah which is time-bound at its start time and at its end time. The mitzvah of mila is a mitzvah which is time-bound at its start time. You have to wait until 8 days. After 8 days, it's a mitzvah that applies consistently for the entire life. And therefore, it's not a mitzvah seishas mangrama. Says Tosfos, v'im tomar akati, mitzvah seishas mangrama hu. Okay, good, so you told me that there's no end time. It starts at 8 days, and it goes until the end of his life. But still, isn't it a mitzvah seishas mangrama? The ein malin ela b'yom, because we can only give a bris mila during the day. The isa b'perek ha'arel, like we see in perek ha'arel. So if you can only give a bris mila during the day, and not at night, that vaiter should be a mitzvah seish as mangrama. Says the Gemara, V'yesh lomar, da'asya, k'man d'yamar ha'osam, d'mila, shalob ezman, and oheges b'im b'yom b'im b'layla. Ah, no, because this man d'yamar holds that you could do a mila at night. Really? You could do a mila at night? Not b'zman, but if it's mila shalob ezmana, then you could do a bris mila even at night, and therefore it's not a mitzvah seish as mangrama, and therefore we need a lima to teach me that women are putter in making sure that their sons have a bris. It's not enough to rely on the fact that it's a mitzvah seish as mangrama. Says the Gemara of Eiter at the two dots about 5-6 lines down in the wide lines, liftoso, that the other mitzvah that the father is obligated to perform is to do a pidyon haben on his son. So minolan, how do we know that the father is obligated to perform this mitzvah? Dechsiv kol b'char banecha tivdeh, that you have to redeem all of your firstborn sons. Ve'echad lo parkei avua mechayev iu lemifrkei, and if the father doesn't perform the mitzvah pidyon haben, then the son himself has to see to it that he is redeemed. Over here, interestingly, we skip over Basin. Basin's not involved anymore. Basin's involved in the mitzvah of mila because it's an iser kares. Over here, pidyon haben, stam mitzvah asay, the basin is not going to get involved. The mitzvah is on the father. If the father doesn't do it, then the son has to do it himself. Tichsiv pado tifteh, that either way, by hook or by crook, you have to make sure that you're redeemed. So the mitzvah is on the father. If the father doesn't do it, you have to see to it yourself that you're going to be redeemed. The iu minalan, the iu minalan d'lom mifkeda. How do we know that the mother is not commanded to on the mitzvah pinin aben? Dechsiv tifdeh tipadeh, because it says kol b'char b'necha tifdeh, and we could learn it tipadeh. In other words, kol shem mitzvah liftos es atzmo mitzuva liftos es acherim. V'kol she'ena mitzuva liftos es atzmo, ena mitzuva liftos es acherim. That the only people who are obligated in this mitzvah to make sure that others are padui, that others are redeemed, are those who themselves have a mitzvah to be redeemed, i.e. only men, not women. And therefore, the mother doesn't have to is not mechuyev to redeem, to do pinin ben on her son. Navi'im in olon v'lo mechayva, says the Gemara, you're making an assumption. The assumption is that there's no mitzvah of pidyon habas. How do we know that? How do we know that halacha to begin with? So the v'im in olon v'lo mechayva l'mifra klinavsha, how do we know that there's no mitzvah of pidyon on a daughter? Tichziv tivdeh tipadeh. Kol she'acherim mitzuvam liftoso, mitzvah liftoso zatzmo. Anybody where there is a mitzvah for others to redeem him, he's obligated to redeem himself. Kol she'acherim mitzuvam liftoso, ein mitzuvah liftoso zatzmo. And wherever nobody else is obligated to redeem him, he's not obligated to redeem himself. Says the Gemara, this is now circular logic. How do we know that the woman doesn't redeem herself? How do we know that a woman doesn't redeem her son? Because she doesn't redeem herself. How do we know that she doesn't redeem herself? Because others don't redeem her. You keep moving, it's like the three-card Monty, but yet, where's the proof that the woman, that there's no obligation by woman? So says the Gemara, so uminayin sheina cherem mitzuvim liftoso, de'amarkra, kol b'charba necha tifteh. So we bury the lead here. In the Gemara it says, and now we're now citing the pasuk, it says specifically that it's only applying by b'charba necha, because there's no obligation for others to redeem her, she's not obligated to redeem herself. And because she's not obligated to redeem herself, she cannot be mechuyeves to redeem her son. Banecha velo b'nosecha. So this teaches us that this applies only by boys and not by girls. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, two lines up from the bottom, who liftos, who have no liftos. Let's say he needs to perform the mitzvah of pinin haben on his son and on himself. Says the Gemara, who kodem livno, that he comes before his son. In other words, the mitzvah to redeem himself is before the mitzvah to redeem his son. Rav Yehuda amar b'no kadma. No. You first have to redeem your son. Shezem mitzvaso ala aviv, shezem mitzvas b'no alav. Because redeeming your son, that's a mitzvah on you. Redeeming yourself, that's a mitzvah that your father should have done. Your father didn't do it. That's why you have to do it. But l'chatchila, this is a mitzvah that somebody else should have done, and therefore you should first redeem your son before you redeem yourself. So Amar Rav Yirmiyah, so says Rav Yirmiyah, HaKol Modim, everybody agrees, Kol Eicha Delek Ela Chamesh Shlaim, Hu Kodem Livno, that where he only has five Shlaim, turning over to Chavtes HaMabez, that where, let's say, he only has five Shlaim, and it's five Shlaim to redeem a firstborn, but he only has five Shlaim to his name, Hu Kodem Livno, that he has to redeem himself before he redeems his son. Why? My Taima, Mitzvah Degufe Yadifa, because there's the mitzvah that he performs on himself, or the mitzvah that he performs on his son, and it's better to perform the mitzvah on yourself. Ki pligi, where do they argue? Hey, chadika chamesh mishabadim chamesh b'nei chorin. Where you have five unencumbered dollars, you have $5 in your pocket, and you have $5 which is subject to a lien, which is subject to somebody else's entitlement. So Rav Yehuda savar. So Rav Yehuda says like this. Milva dechsiv b'Torah kichsuva b'shtar damya, that a milva that's written in the Torah is like a milva that's written in the shtar. In other words, in the milva that's written in the Torah is the fact that the Torah obligates us to redeem our firstborn sons. So b'hani chamesh parik lebrei, that with the $5 that he has in his pocket, he should redeem his son because that money is unencumbered. The azul koin v'torafle lechamesh mishabadim lididei. And now the five which are meshubed in somebody else's possession, the coin could come and the coin could grab those $5 on account of the pidyon of the guy himself. Now, why can you do that? Because the money is mechasim meshubadim, the money is encumbered and somebody else has an entitlement to it. But you know what preceded the other guy's entitlement to it? The entitlement that the Torah said the Kohen has to these five Shlaim, because from the moment that this guy was born, he was obligated to pay the Kohen the $5. Now the Rabbanan Savri and the Rabbanan say, Milva d'chsiv ba'raisa lav k'ksuva b'shtar damya. No, a milva k'suva b'torah is not like a milva k'suva b'shtar. The hilkach mitzvah d'gufei adif. And therefore the mitzvah is on his own. The mitzvah for himself is going to be greater. And therefore, in other words, what the Chachamim say is that you have no access to the $5 which are nechashim mishabadim. So it's not like you have access to the $5. And if you only have access to the $5 that's in your pocket, then again, Vaiter, you're with the decision that you have to make. Are you going to redeem yourself? Are you going to redeem your son? So it's better to redeem yourself as opposed to redeeming your son. Rashi deals with over here, why when we talk about the milva k'suva b'torah, it's as if it's k'suva b'shtar, and therefore you redeem yourself with the $5 that you have in your pocket, you redeem your son, rather, with the $5 that you have in your pocket, and then for the redemption of yourself, the coin comes and he collects from the other from the lukuchos, let's say, from the person who bought this property from you. Why don't we say that you should redeem yourself with the $5 that you have in your pocket, and let the coin come and collect for the son from the $5 that you sold to somebody else? So Rashi explains, because we're talking about where the son was born after you sold your property. So in other words, the first lien on the property was when the guy bought the property from you. But the obligation to redeem your son didn't predate that purchase. And so we're not going to force the lokeach to give a value for an obligation that first arose after he bought the karka. However, the obligation to redeem yourself, that obligation started when you were born. Since that obligation started when you were born, so once you use your $5 that are free money, that are unencumbered assets, to redeem your son, now the coin can come and collect for yourself from the $5, which are nechasim mishubadim. Okay, says the Gemara, now Vayter, Tana Rabbanan. Liftos es beno vela los l'regel. So if you have a choice, you can either be poda your son, you could either give, you could either do pinyin aben on your son, vela los l'regel, or you could be ola l'regel. So poda es beno v'achar kach ola l'regel. So first you have to be poda your son, and only after that you can go be ola regel. Rav Yehuda omer, ola l'regel v'achar kach poda es beno. Rav Yehuda says, no, just the opposite. First be ola regel, then be poda your son. Why? Shezu mitzvah veres, vezu mitzvah sheino veres. Because being ola l'regel, regel is a mitzvah of eres. In other words, if you don't make it there on Yontif, then you're up a creek, then you've already missed your window. However, Pinyin HaBen, it's not a mitzvah of eres. In other words, there is an ongoing obligation to make sure that your firstborn son is redeemed. So if you don't do it right now, you'll do it later. Not a problem, says the Gemara. Bishlam Rav Yehuda Kedekamar Taima. I understand Rav Yehuda gave a reason why you should first be Ola Regel, because he said that if you're not Ola Regel now, then you're going to lose the opportunity forever. Whereas Pinyin HaBen, you'll always have the opportunity. El Rabbana Mai Tamayu. What's the reason for the Rabbana? Why in the world should you first be Podi yourself and only after that be Ola Regel? Don't they agree that Aliyah La Regel is a mitzvah that comes and goes? It's going to pass you by. Says the Gemara, yeah, but the Amar Krah, Kol Bechor Banecha Tivdeh, that first it says in Pasuk in sequence, it says, Kol Bechor Banecha Tivdeh, Vahadar Lo Yiro Panai Reikam. And only after the obligation to redeem one's firstborn does the Pasuk mention the mitzvah of Aliyah La Regel. Therefore, in sequence, you first do the mitzvah of Pidin HaBen, and only after that do you do the mitzvah of Aliyah La Regel. Says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanim Minayim Shem Hayelo Chamisha Banim Chamisha Nashim. How do you know that if you have five wives and each wife gives birth to a firstborn child, Shechayev Liftos Kulan, that you have to perform the mitzvah Pidin HaBen on each of the kids, Tamalomar Kol Bechar Benecha Tiftek, because it says on every Bechar you have to perform the mitzvah Pidin HaBen. Pshita Bepetarechem Tala Rachmana. It's of course, it's totally on Petarechem. In other words, the question is this kid the first born of the mother? Is it Peterechem? Is it the firstborn? So if you have five wives and you have five firstborn sons, of course, you have to do Pidin HaBen on each of the sons. Says the Gemara, Ma d'tema neilef b'chor b'chor minachla. I might think that the only time you're chayav in Pidin HaBen is on what we call a b'chor for nachla purposes. And malahalan reishis ono, afkan reishis ono. A man only has one firstborn child. He can have many firstborn children from various women, but the man himself will only have one firstborn child, which is his first son. So Afkan Reishis Ono. So also over here, I might think by Pidin HaBen, it's only Reishis Ono. It's only his real first son, but not the fact that it's a firstborn son for different mothers. Kamash Balan, that by Pidin HaBen, we're not going to follow the principles of Nachla. We're going to say that you're chayiv in Pidin HaBen for each of the firstborn children of each mother. Says the Gemara, Navaiter, the Lamda Torah, the next mitzvah that the Mishnah ticked through, that the Brice in the beginning of the Gemara ticked through, was that the father is obligated to teach his son Torah. Minolan, how do we know? Dechsiv, ulimadatem osam es benechem. It says, ulimadatem osam es benechem. Ve'echad lo agmarei avua, and if the father doesn't teach the kid Torah, mechayavi ulimigmar nafshe, then he's obligated to teach himself Torah. Dechsiv, ulimadatem. So, v'iyu minolan d'lo mechayva, how do we know that she's not mechayva? In other words, how do we know that the mother is not mechayev to teach her son Torah? Dechsiv vilimadatem ulimadatem. It says ulimadatem vilimadatem. Kol she mitzuva lilmod mitzuva lilamed. B'chol she ina mitzuva lilmod ina mitzuva lilamed. The only person who's obligated to teach the son Torah is somebody who himself is obligated to learn Torah. The mother is not obligated to learn Torah, therefore the mother cannot be obligated to teach Torah. Says the Gemara, how do we know that she's not obligated to teach herself Torah? Because again, if she is, then we could say that she's also chayav to teach her son. So how do we know that she's not chayav to teach herself? Anybody where others have the obligation to teach them, they have to teach themselves. And any place where others are not obligated to teach them, they don't have to teach themselves. But says the Gemara, again, it's circular. You're saying the reason that the mother doesn't have to teach the son is because nobody has to teach her. How do we know that nobody has to teach her? Says the Gemara, you have to read Kriya Shema. Damar Kra, v'limadatem osam es b'neichem. It says b'neichem, b'neichem, v'lo b'noseichem. That's the drasha that the Gemara makes. So one only has to teach their son Torah, not their daughters. And the only person who's obligated to teach their son's Torah, those who are obligated to be taught Torah themselves, meaning only men, not women. Says the Gemara, Vayter, Tanu Rabbanan, three lines down in the wide lines, hu lil modiv, no lil mod, if one has a choice. He can either hire a Rebbe for himself or for his son, hu kodem livno, that he comes before his son. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, in beno zariz, hu mulach, v'tamudah miskayim biyado. Well, you have to make an assessment. If the kid is a star, if the kid's an all-star, if he's diligent and he's smart and you know that he's going to remember his learning, then beno kodmo, then his son comes first, says Rashi, and you should work to support your son. In other words, you got to be smart. If you're going to gain more out of the learning, then you do it yourself. If your kid's going to gain more out of the learning, then facilitate his limud haTorah. So says the Gemara, ki hod Rav Yaakov breid Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rav Yaakov breid Rav Acha bar Yaakov, shadrei avua lakame da abaye. So his father, in other words, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, sent his son Rav Yaakov to Abaye to learn in yeshiva. Ki yosa chazia delo avi mischadad nishmaita. But then whenever Rav Yaakov would go home for an off Shabbos, Rav Acha, his father, would give him a faher, and he saw that he wasn't really holding in what he was learning. So Amar lei, ano adifa minach, that, you know what, I'm smarter than you, I'm a better Talmud than you, tuv at v'azil anosh v'azil anah. You stay here, I'm going to go to Abaye's yeshiva and learn because I'm going to get more than you. I'm going to get more out of it than you. So Shama Abaye dekave asi. So Abaye heard that the great Rav Acha was now coming to his yeshiva. So it happens to be Havi Ahu Mazik Be Rabbanan da Abaye. There was a shade that would always injure the Talmidim of Abaye, the Chiyava Aili Betrin Afilu Biyamama Havi Mitsiki, that when people would go, even in pairs, and generally walking in pairs is a good way to make sure that you're not going to be harmed by a shade, when they would go in pairs, even during the day, and generally shadim don't harm people during the day, they would still be harmed. So he put out a notice to all of his talmidim. He said, nobody offer Rav Acha hospitality. Nobody invite him to your house. Efshar demisrachesh nisa, and maybe a nes is going to happen. If Rav Acha has to sleep in the base medrash, he's going to count the shade. Maybe a nes is going to happen. So all bas bahu be rabbanan. So nobody invited Rav Acha. It was a very inhospitable, a very cold yeshiva. So nobody invited him. So he wound up having to sleep in the base medrash. So idmile ketanina de shiva rish vase. And sure enough, the shade came and tried to harm Rav Acha bar Yaakov, and it appeared to him like a serpent with seven heads. So kol kriya dekara nutar chad reshe. Every time Rav Acha bowed in prayer, one of the heads of the snake, one of the heads of the serpent would fall off. So Amar Lehu Lamachar, Ilo Esrachesh Nisa Sakintan. So he said, Tabaya, what in the world were you doing? Were it not for the fact that a nace happened to me, I would have been placed in mortal danger. You should have had people invite me to their home to sleep. You should never have allowed me to sleep in the Beis HaMedrash. The question is, the Marsha asks, what in the world was Abaye thinking? We know that Ein Somchem Al HaNeis. So how could he have been Somech on the Neis? And the Marsha therefore explains that Abaye held this isn't a Neis. In other words, if you're so pious, we know that you have the ability to make a real profound impact with your davening. So then relying on the fact that the davening of a tzaddik, that the feel of a tzaddik is going to change something, is not considered to be a nace at all. Okay, says the Gemara in Avaiter, Tana Rabbana, Lumo Torah Velisa Isha. What if you have a choice? You could either learn Torah or marry a wife. So Yomo Torah V'yakakach Isa Isha. So first you should learn, and then you should get married. Vimi Efter Lo Belo Isha. If the guy says, I just cannot focus on my learning if I'm not married, so then Isa Isha V'yakakach Lumo Torah. So then he should first get married, and after that he should learn Torah. So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Nosa Isha V'yakakach Yomo Torah. The Halacha is that first you should marry a wife, and then you should learn Torah. So says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Amar Rechaim B'tzavar Rav Yasek B'Torah, you're going to have all of these obligations, all of these domestic obligations on you, you're going to be a family man, and now we're going to expect that you're going to learn Torah? No, therefore you should first learn, and then you should get married. So it turns out that we are in a conundrum, because there are two shittas. The question is, should you first learn or first get married? So one shita said first learn, the other shita said first get married. Says the Gemara, v'lo pligi halon v'halahu. So says the Gemara, it's no machlokas. One is talking about the B'nai Bavel, one is talking about the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. How we interpret this is a machlokas Rashi Tosfos. Tosfos of here, Dibra Maskel, halon v'halahu. If you look in Tosfos of here, he says, Perish Bekuntris, that he explains, B'nai Bavel, ha yeholchim gorsim mishnaya satanam Eretz Yisrael. The B'nai Bavel would ordinarily go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. Umitok shalom dem chutzlim koman insar chabayas mutal alayem. No se'isha davile below hearer. That, and because they learn away from home and they're away from their wives because their wives are in Bavel, they're in Eretz Yisrael, they should get married first and then they should go learn. And because they're not going to be Behirer, they're already going to have had marital relations and they're going to be able to focus on their learning. V'achakach lomei Torah. And halahu, but in Eretz Yisrael, abnei Eretz Yisrael, halom dem imkomam, that they learn in their hometown. If they would get married first, they're going to have all of the domestic responsibilities, vivat lua, and they're not going to be able to learn. Says the Gemara, says Tosfos rather, v'kashal arbeinu tam. So what derech eretz is Rashi teaching us? The mashman the kamar shmol the nosa isha tchila kadei lios polo hirer umikolo lamilsa b'bnei bavel imkain akati ika hirer. First of all, they're still going to be hirer because we're saying that the b'nei bavel they go to Eretz Yisrael to learn. So first, let them get married, and now they're not going to have hirer when they're away in Eretz Yisrael. Hello, they're away from their wives. Of course, they're going to have hirer. So kiven jolchan limo chutzlam koman, they're going to have hirer anyway. V'od kasha. What kind of derech eretz is this? The guy's going to get married, he's going to have a family at home, or he's going to go off to learn yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael? It doesn't make any sense. It's as if they're leaving their wives to become harlots. How are they supposed to support themselves? They're going to have to sell themselves in order to feed themselves. It's not derech eretz that you get married and then you leave your house to go learn. The Rav Yochanan, when he was talking about how are you going to learn with all the domestic obligations, he wasn't talking about the B'nai Eretz Yisrael, he was talking about the B'nai Bavel. Why? Because it's literally going to be a Rechaim B'Tzavaro. If they're going to get married, they're not going to be able to go to Eretz Yisrael, because it's not their Eretz to do that. Shein Yochol, Aniach Ishto, V'yelech, V'yom HaTorah, V'yod, Shein Maniyim, U'shmul, D'yamar, Nosei Isha Tchilu, L'B'nai Eretz Yisrael, Amar Sheikhol, Mumu, V'mkoman, V'gamei Mashirim. They were wealthier, and therefore it was able for them to get married and learn in their proper place. So Machlokas, Rashi Tosfos, who we're talking about here. Says the Gemara a little bit weiter, Mishtabeach, Lay Rav Chista la Rav Huna, but Rav Hamnuna, Dadam Gadol Ave. So Rav Chista was really talking up Rav Hamnuna to Rav Huna that he was a great person. So Amar Lay Lechashvar Liyadcha Via Liyadi. Yeah, when he comes to town, make sure he visits me. Kiyasa Chazid Lo Parasudra. When he came to town, he saw that he wasn't covering his head, like he wasn't wearing a talus over his head during davening, like married people do. So Amar Lay My Tama Lo Parisa Sudra. How come you're not wearing a head covering? Amar Lay Delana Sivna. Because I'm not married. Sadrina La Peimine. He turned away from him very indignantly. So Amar Lay Chazid Lo Chazas Lu La Ape Adinasva Adinasva. I'm not going to talk to you until you get married. And Rav Huna, why was Rav Huna treating Rav Hamnuna so with such disdain just because he wasn't married? Because Rav Huna l'tamei, damar ben esrim shana v'lonas isha kol yama ba'vera. That if a person gets to 20 years old and he's not yet married, he's living all his days in sin. Ba'vera sal kadaitach, what sin is he doing? I mean, he just didn't find his basheret. That's harsh. So Elaim al kol yama behir avera. No, he's at risk of having hir avera. Amar Rava, v'chein tana debed Rabbi Yishmol, ad chavshana yoshev HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzapel oda masa yisa isha. Until a person is 20, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wonders when he's going to find his wife. Kiven shegiya chav. V'lo nasa, once he turns 20 years old and he still hasn't gotten married, amar tipa chatz mosav. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu says his bone should swell. Amar Rav Chista, haida adifne mechavaroi, the reason that I'm better than all of my friends, the nesivna b'shitzar, because I got married when I was 16, vi havi nesivna bar besar, and if I would have gotten married when I'm 14, havamina l'sata. I would have said to the Satan, arrows in your eyes, meaning I never would have had any hirhurim at all. So we'll stop here. Top line of Lamed Ahmed Aleph. My Reinu is at long last back from all of his travels. He's coming back today, so he'll be giving this year tomorrow. Hopefully for the foreseeable future. Hope everybody has a great day. And a chsiva chsimatova, a git yor to everybody.